Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey guys, it's Dylan from the future here. Just popping in to say, hope you all have a very happy and a safe Thanksgiving. Your all support means the world to us. And, you know, we just hope that you guys can have a great time with your families and friends in this holiday season. Before we get into the show, just want to remind you that we are a part of the Believe Podcast Network. And, you know, like I said, it's Thanksgiving. So we all know what that means, football. There's nothing better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code BELIEVE to receive your bonus. That's BLEAV. And it's not just football BetOnline has. Pro, college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline.ag. As I said, guys, hope y'all have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Without further ado, here's the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger at Thunder Chats. You are tuned into the... I'm just kidding. This is not Thunder Chats. I am joined by my friends in this one. First of all, we've got in Oklahoma City. Just kidding. It's not in Oklahoma City. It's in Oklahoma, though. The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Champagne Jerry. Jerry, how the heck are you, man?
Actually, I'm in Oklahoma City. Where the heck did you get your intel?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't research this guy well enough.
I thought you lived in Lawton or Edmond or something.
What on God's green earth have you been smoking? What are you guys getting out in Kentucky? Dylan, I live in Oklahoma City. I drive to the arena 20 minutes away. All right?
All right, my bad.
I live in civilization. I don't live in rotten-ass Lawton like some people.
But
back to the point. Yeah, I'm having a great night, man. I'm joined by three lovely gentlemen. And get to talk some Thunder basketball. And then tomorrow I get to wear sweatpants all day and just gorge myself like
you do every day.
No, I really don't. I really save it up for Thanksgiving, but I'm going to drink a whole bottle of champagne tomorrow.
Yeah,
and see where it gets me. Hopefully, I don't blow chunks.
I've been prepping for this all year, boy.
That's his dog. That's the name of his dog.
That's disgusting.
Okay. That was out of pocket. All right.
That was out of pocket for someone living in Lawton. He has no room to talk about anybody.
Yeah, so speaking of what, and we've got Alex Roig. Alex, we know how your night's going, but you know, how's your night going for the folks at home?
Oh man, I am very combative tonight because of my Wi-Fi, man. This thing keeps on going up and down like a roller coaster. It's horrible. But hey, I'm here and I'm gonna be here until it gives out. So
yeah, so just so you guys know, if you hear aggressive explicitives, you know, in the middle of the podcast, that's Alex.
I'm gonna try not to do that.
Hey, it'd be great for content. So
sure, B-roll.
All right, and then last but not least, we've got the one, the only, the current or no, recently acquired 50,000 followers on Twitter, the unprecedented, the unrivaled Ultra Cone.
Thank you, Dylan. Jerry, yeah, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
50,000, bro?
Yeah, the other day.
Like, I swear, this time last year, you just hit 30.
Probably something like that, yeah. I hit like 10,000 at the start of the quarantine, like, in 2020, so... It's been a good ride.
Do you have like an embedded hidden link of OnlyFans where you're doing like crazy stuff or what? I just need to know the secret sauce here.
No, but I'll take that into consideration to reach 100K. Thank you for the input on the account.
I'll be your manager actually once you get there. I got you. All right.
Once I hit 100K, you'll be my manager.
Yes.
All right. I don't make nearly enough money to pay even myself, never mind a manager, but I'll work on that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just make sure you have good Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and
that's actually the key to getting 50,000 followers. Alex, if you had good Wi-Fi, you would also be here. It's okay though. I'm here for you if you want to talk after the pod. Excited to talk Thunder basketball.
Yes, sir. Why you got?
Give me your Wi-Fi TED talk. No.
I don't know how it works. It just does.
Man, that's really impressive, Cone. Congratulations, man. I didn't know you hit that milestone. Congrats, bro. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah,
I
appreciate it.
And I noticed tonight, the Thunder literally sees your post and then comments underneath your threads now, which makes me, super duper jealous. They pretty much called your dad a goat without saying those words.
Yeah, my if y'all didn't see the tweet, my dad was watching the Thunder game with me, and he was like, "This guy Giddy is a god." And I tweeted that out, and the Thunder were like, "Your dad knows ball." So he was super excited about that.
There you go, man. Yeah, no, not only did he hit 50,000 followers, he hit it like early in the morning. And then you look later on in the afternoon, he's already at like 50.3K. So he gained 300 followers, throughout the day. So.
Good Lord.
It was a good day.
Yep, just bring us with you whenever you're there, and like you replace Woj, like whenever he dies or whatever, you can just slide in there and take over the position.
Why do you think I have like his inheritance? Like I'm his protege or something.
Because his son Shams disowned him.
Yeah.
he needs a new son.
Exactly.
Good points.
There you go, man. Yep. Remember us when you make it there, Insider Cone. Insider Cone, Ultra Cone, all the nicknames. But boys, like I said, it's been a little while since we've all gotten on a pod together. Alex and Jerry stepped in last week, stepped up for me there. Definitely appreciate that. Peep behind the curtain, man. I went into work that morning at 6:45, and after the day was over, I think I got home at 11:45 at night. It was just a ridiculous time. I'm usually off at like 5:30 in the afternoon. So definitely appreciate y'all stepping in on that. We've had some Thunder chats here and there, but guys, we haven't got to jump on as a group, like more than two people to talk Thunder basketball, and I don't know how long. So we're not going to sing large item every game that we've missed, because that would take probably two podcasts. But we're going to sing large item our game tonight. So guys, we played the Utah Jazz in Oklahoma City. We lost that game 110-104, but it had no shortness of excitement. And we're going to go ahead and kick it off to Cone for the single large item. Since he got 50,000 followers on Twitter, I feel like he deserves it. So go ahead, Cone.
Thank you. This is better than that. So my single large item is the Dort leap. 27 in the game. If I did my math right, I think he's up to 17 points per game on the season, which is in the top 50 in the NBA right now. So that's crazy. Also locking up Donovan Mitchell tonight, holding him to 13 points, 6 of 16 shooting. Like, he's like legit emerging as a second option right now, and it's super fun to watch. Like, we know how good Shea is. We see it every night, but to see Dort come out and become Look, we've said it a million times how he went from people calling him the worst offensive player in the NBA to the big game seven with 30 points to last season continuing to get better. And he just, it feels like, I've said this before, but I feel like I never want to put a ceiling on Lu Dort when people ask, because he gets so much better every year that I feel like it does him a disservice to put a ceiling. Like, some people are saying Marcus Smart, but he's never had this. He doesn't really have this consistent scoring ability that Dort's showing right now. Plus the defense, like, it's just super impressive. And every night that I watch him, more and more NBA fans are learning about him too. Like, I saw Jazz fans like, oh, this guy Dort is only good against us. Like, this guy Dort is only good against the Jazz. They're like, what the heck? And people are going to learn. People are going to learn very quick. One thing I want to say is, when right before Dort went on that 20 point per game streak, one of my roommates at college, he asked me, he's like, is Dort actually good or is it all just memes? I was like, no, he's actually good. And then he scored 20 points per game, five games straight. So shout out to my roommate for putting that curse on himself. And Dort's just going crazy. It's so fun. It's like, he hits shots that I never would have dreamed him taking last season. His handle is so much tighter. He went right at Gobert into his chest and finished over him tonight. He hit like a step back, like off the dribble three. He's shooting pull-up mid-ranges that he's making, just all these shots that he's taking. A couple of years ago, I never would have dreamed of it, and he just gets better every single game.
Yeah, that's the thing that's most impressive to me, was like just his finishing, you know. All offseason, we talked about how much Dort has struggled with finishing at the rim specifically, and you could tell that was really a point of emphasis this past offseason for him and his work. And, you know, like you said, with on the Gobert drive, like, you know, just driving into him, absorbing the contact, and kind of double clutching, you know, to finish there, you know, right off the glass, like, it's money every time. Like, he's done it countless times against multiple defenders in the lane. And, I mean, it's super impressive. His shooting is, you know, it kind of is what it is. Like, I don't expect him to be a 40% three-point shooter. But, like, you know, if he can consistently finish at the rim and, you know, attack closeouts, because, you know, defenses are going to start guarding him if he's hitting threes like this, then – yeah, he's going to be a really he already is a really important piece to the rebuild, but he's going to be even more important than we could have even dreamed about it.
So can we talk about how whenever he did that play, he literally looked at Gobert like, too little. Like, you're way too little. What do you think you're doing up there, big guy? Like, you're not strong enough. And I thought that was like the greatest thing ever. I was like, hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, dude, he flexed and then he did a little head nod like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm the one. like, if I could get a GIF tattooed on my body, it would be that. But, you know.
Whoa. Hey, everybody out in the world, I don't think Dylan has any tattoos. Let's make this happen.
Yeah. If you get a movable picture tattooed on my body, you know, we'll make it happen.
There's a way, Dylan.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to Alex here, man. Alex, what was your single large item?
I mean, just the continued development of Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Like, it's, you know, we talk about this upcoming draft, you know, where we talk about Chet, we talk about Paolo. But the fact that the Thunder got this guy in the second round, and he's putting up double doubles, not consistently, but for a rookie, it's happening a lot more often than I thought it would in his rookie season. You know, he had 13 and 10 today. He had 13 and 10 against Atlanta, 13 and 8 against Boston. A couple games ago against Miami, he had 16 and 5. I mean, those are big numbers. You know, those are big numbers for a guy that's a second rounder, for a guy that, you know, many of us, whenever you think about a second rounder, you think, okay, he's going to spend some time with the Blues. He's going to spend some time, you know, sitting on the bench a lot. And he's been playing, you know, pretty consistently since the beginning of the season. And so, you know, him out there with Giddy, us having basically two rookies out there in the starting lineup and allowing them to play through their mistakes it's going to be great for this team moving forward. And I think this guy has the ability to not only necessarily be a starter right now, but to be that, you know, anchor five, anchor four, five that comes off the bench that could really help you out. So I think this guy's development is tantamount to our moving forward and getting better. and he's been doing great overall since, you know, what we've seen this season.
For sure, man. I mean, J-Rob has been an absolute revelation. I mean, you know, I mean, Giddy was already looking like a hit from the draft. Trey Mann, I've been really impressed with. And, you know, then you go down to J-Rob. And, like, those three picks right there in the first, what was it, 32? I think we got JRE at 32. Just getting those guys in your first, you know, within the first 32 picks of the draft was really impressive and really great scouting by Presti. The thing I love most about J-Rob, man, it isn't like, I mean, obviously, if he's able to shoot like this, you know, he's going to find a permanent home in the rotation. But it's just his basketball IQ, man. Like, he's just – he knows where to be. He knows how to get to his spots offensively. He knows where to be on defense. He makes quick decisions with the basketball. I mean, in the midst of those 13 and 10 that he had, he shot 50% from the field at 5 of 10, 75% from 3 at 3 of 4, but he also had 4 assists. Like, he's a guy that can, you know, move the basketball and, you know, pick up some dimes there. And I can't take credit for his Andrew Schleck that he actually tweeted out something to the effect of watching Josh Giddey and Jeremiah Robinson Earl on the floor together, you know, just the amount of basketball IQ that they show and the chemistry that is just continually growing and growing, the more that they learn each other's game, like, it's really going to be something special. So, yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I'm very excited from what I've seen from J-Rob.
You know what I loved about this game, though, is having a center like Gobert who likes just to pack the paint, and J-Rob being able to step out, him having that much space and getting those shots off and watching them fall, he's going to get confidence for those guys that can step out on him a little bit more and still put that shot up. So I thought that was huge tonight, just the way that he was able just to, you know, he knew exactly what was about to happen, was ready for it, and put it up and took some good quality shots. So I was reading something on him the other day, you know, his draft profile, and someone posted it. I don't know who the heck did, but, like, they said that he sucks athletically. He's not that physical, but he has, like, one of the highest IQs, you know, that the coach had ever seen. Because he went to Nova, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. So, you know, watching him this year, it's like, yeah, physical, that's a lie, because he's grabbing boards like crazy. The high IQ, definitely the truth, because he just makes really, really smart plays throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And then his footwork on defense, I don't think anyone mentioned that tonight. Like, he's able to switch. Like,
yeah,
he can switch on anybody. And it's
there really was that video of him playing really great defense on James Harden that one possession, too.
Yeah, like, well, he did it again tonight on Donovan Mitchell, like, where he was able to stay in front of him and, you know, he sort of just hedged him, you know, back out towards the sideline whenever he was trying to penetrate. And it was just good, solid defense. He doesn't get handsy like a lot of big guys. He just uses his feet and, you know, trusts his length to be able to, you know, at least contest that shot if they decide to go up. So, J-Rob, the real deal.
He's so fun, man. I love that play that we run a lot where the ball handler, like, he goes around the screen and gets two guys on him and then throws the behind the back bounce pass to JRE at the top of the, like, at the center of the arc. It's just, I love that play. I was telling, like, my dad about it. He's like, they keep doing that thing where they, like, throw that bounce pass behind the back. I was like, and it feels like it works every single time, because every time JRE shoots as a big, I feel like it's going to go in. It's just really fun to watch. I'm super happy we got him with that pick. Villanova guys just seem to always come out of the gate as, like, super productive, even, like, when they're young, like he is.
Yeah, they all turn out to be, you know, pretty good pros. I mean, you got Bridges, of course, Archer Diakno, Josh Hart. You know, that's all I could think of right now off the top of my head. But
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, man.
I mean, Mike Lowry.
That's a big name there.
Mike Lowry.
Jerry, I'm gonna go to you while I turn my son's food pump off. What's your single large item for the game?
I gotta go with Giddy, man. Like, he made a bunch of, like, weird mistakes, but he's freaking 18. But man, he has such just a great control of the game and the offense, and knows exactly what he's trying to do. He knows who's gonna be where. The connection that him and Kenny Hustle have already is just beautiful. Like, it's so awesome to watch them play together. And Kenny's just that guy that just always seems to find himself in the right spot, you know, naturally. He's been doing it with us for a couple of years. But just watching Giddy, like I said, just take control of the offense. And, you know, that three rep for halftime, you know, those playmaking things looking for, and like those hot moments from him that isn't an assist, right? He's wowed us a lot with a bunch of different assists this year, but that shot was great. He had a shot there at the end of the game. I think it closed it within three. I might be off on the,
that was three. That was three.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, he just stepped into it, you know, and I think he was like 3 or 4 feet off the line. It wasn't a close, you know, three whatsoever. And just him continually to just knock on the door of a triple double. Like, I'm just ready for him to bust through that thing like a Kool-Aid man. Was really impressed with his scoring tonight, though. It was just, it was good. I mean, everything around was good. He, like I said, he had a couple of really just dumbass turnovers, though. But again, it's like, he's 18. Like, he's going to do that every so often. It's okay. But yeah, Giddy for president, man. He's wowing the crap out of me, and he did it again tonight.
Not a citizen, Jerry.
You most definitely can, sir. So go read a history book, and then come back and talk to me later on. Sorry.
It feels like Giddy just develops chemistry with guys so fast. Like, it already, like you said, him and Kenny Hustle, I feel like him and Jerry have great chemistry too. Like that play that we always run that I mentioned, but it feels like every time he passes to him, it's going to go in. It's crazy. The way that he plays, his confidence is out of, like, last year, I thought Poku was like the most confident player I'd ever seen. I think Giddy might've topped what Poku, maybe Poku was kind of crazy, but the same realm of like, just how confident he is going into every shot. Like, everything, it feels like he's going to make it. That one-handed three was crazy. Mm-hmm. Some of the passes that he throws are legitimately insane. And I think part of the reason why it feels like guys bobble them so much is because they're like, there's no way he can get the ball to me in this position. And then he finds a way. It's just, as things are going to go on, we're going to talk about draft prospects, right? At some point. God, I can't wait till we get like an athletic, like rim rolling big. Him and Giddy are going to make some of the craziest highlight plays. Like, it's going to be so fun to watch. I can't wait till we get someone like that.
Yeah. I mean, Giddy put on a clinic tonight, man. Like, I wanted him to get the triple double just because, you know, that window, I don't know how many more days he has, but that window's closing for him to be the youngest player to ever get the,
I think he has like 3-4 months still.
Yeah, he has to like January or something.
Hey, I said it's closing, not close to close, all right? It's closing.
That's
every
a good
day.
Point.
But no, man, I really enjoyed what I saw out of him. You know, I mean, he hit a couple of really big threes there late. Like Jerry was talking about that one that he stepped into, but he also had one where he just kind of took one dribble just to kind of make Royce O'Neal drop back. And I mean, he was a couple feet back from the three-point line. He just let it fly, and it was nothing but net. That whole scissors leg, you know, approach that he has to his three-point shot, you know, it's weird. I mean, it's aesthetically pleasing. It kind of looks cool, but I don't know how consistent that could be. But, you know, I mean, when he's hitting them like he did tonight, like, you know, yeah, you can't say much about it. And, you know, talking about the turnovers, like, you know, I mean, obviously nobody wants to have 6 turnovers, but a lot of them was just he was seeing I'm not going to say all of them, but some of them was seeing the play happen before his teammate saw it happening. Like, there was one specifically, he was trying to feed Dort on a cut, and, you know, Dort wasn't cutting, and so he held the ball, and then Dort went to cut again. And he was trying to pass it out to Dort on the three-point line, and it just went out of bounds. It's like, you know, just miscommunication. Like, if Dort knew to cut when he was cutting, then he'd probably get another assist, and it wouldn't be a turnover. But, you know, that'll come with time and, you know, just playing with the team. So, yeah, man, I've enjoyed the Giddy experience. Dare I say it's made me giddy. So.
What a terrible joke.
That was great, Dylan. Overused
joke as well. You're drunk, Cone. You stop it.
All right, my single large item for the day is going to be the vets on the bench. The trio of Ty Jerome, Mike Muscala, and Kendrick Williams. You know, Moose didn't shoot very efficiently, and, I mean, honestly, Ty didn't either, but just the steady play that those guys give on a night-to-night basis is something that other young rebuilding teams don't have. And, yeah, it can hurt. It can hurt when it comes to, like, draft position, but in terms of, like, keeping these games competitive, like, you're not just getting mollywopped night after night. Like, you're in these games night after night, and, you know, you're learning, like, what you're supposed to do with your role. Like, Moose comes in there, and, you know, people want to relegate him to a shooter, but he's down in there on the block. He's working on the glass. He's banging Rudy Gobert. Like, he's not scared. Like, he's in there working. Ty Jerome, man, he hasn't seen a shot that he doesn't like. He goes in there. He doesn't care who it is. He's taking a shot over him. That one basically fadeaway in the corner over Mike Conley was just, like, just so, like, unnecessary, but, like, so nasty. And then Kenny Hustle, man, K-Rich, 6-6 shooting tonight. And, like, he was just really just getting whatever he wanted. He didn't hit a single three tonight.
Nope.
I feel like most of his, maybe one wasn't, but I feel like most of his was right at the rim. And he was just blowing by the guys, whether it was on a coast-to-coast or just, you know, blowing by them in the half court, Giddy finding them on the cuts. I mean, he was just everywhere, man. And, you know, the defensive energy that he gives, like, having those guys, like, I'm not going to – sit here and call my shot and say that those guys are going to be on this team when we're ready to contend. As nice as that would be, I don't know how realistic it is, but it's such a luxury having them on our team for these young guys to learn, you know, what they need to do, how to play for when it's their turn, you know, to be the vets, you know, if these guys move on when it's their turn to fill those roles whenever, you know, we're back to a contending set. Space, so yeah, that's my single large item, the vets, man.
Before we go on, I just gotta point something out again. We are on a tear in the month of November on winning the rebounding battle against teams, and it still perplexes me so much considering we don't have one true big on our team.
Yeah,
like we're out rebounding or tying, you know.
Yeah, it's tied,
the right. Rebounding numbers tonight, it was tonight, you know, it was tied, but we out rebounded the Hawks the other night. During that 4-game winning streak, we out rebounded and shot more free throws than our opponents. We won the free throw battle again tonight too, you know, 9-14. So yeah,
I think we're small at the five, but I think we're huge everywhere else. Like, as far as, like, you know, Dort is our smallest player that gets, you know, a ton of rotation minutes. He's 6'4", you know, but, you know, like, Giddy's 6'8", Shea is 6'6". You know, you talk about Kenrich, he's about 6'8", 6'9". You know, so you're looking at everybody else being pretty big for their position. So even though our bigs, you know, traditionally the bigs are the ones that grab the rebounds, but I think we're in a system, and Mark has a system where everybody is grab and go. And so everybody crashes the boards.
Just to even be young and still be able to do that is just as impressive too. Like, you had that layer into it, and it's not easy. So yeah, it's just been great to watch this team just win those battles. Cause I know in the future that's what's going to win us games. Whenever we polish, you know, our offense a little bit more and get that next score, like, we're going to be mighty fine.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Alex, you know, kind of touched on what he was saying. It's kind of the elephant in the room. Like, you know, we didn't mention Shea because Shea didn't play. He missed the last game against Atlanta too because he's nursing an ankle injury. I think he rolled his ankle in the Celtics game. And honestly, there was speculation that he was playing hurt before that, regards to a slump. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, Shea gets better soon. But, you know, we've lost the two games that he hasn't played. So, you know, take all the time you need to get, like, 100% right. Like, if you're not 100%, like, don't play in my eyes. Like, you know, leave it up to the young guys to develop. And you know, that kind of brings me to Trey Mann. Like, we called up Trey Mann from the G League to be there tonight, and he didn't even get a minute, man. I was excited. I wanted to see some Trey Mann minutes, but didn't get no shine. So sad about that. How y'all feel about no Trey Mann sighting tonight?
I think it's fine. I mean, where he's at right now, you don't need that run, especially against a team that I think, like, I don't, this is just my opinion on this, but it seems like whenever we get into these division games, we really try to throw the house at everybody. Like, we don't try to, you know, quote unquote, tank the game, you know, or try to develop a bunch of these young guys. We really stick to our, you know, to our normal 8, 9, 10 guys that we run with. You know, there's those change up just a little bit every so often. Like tonight we had Teo. I love you, Teo. Instead of Trey Mann, and then probably Trey Mann will get that run that next time. But he's probably exhausted too. Didn't he just put up 30 points the day before at the, you know, for the Blue game?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably tired, man. Leave him alone.
Hey, I just love my Trey Mann minutes. You know, he got out there at the beginning of the game, addressed the fans, said, hope you guys have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and let's go Thunder. So,
hey, I'm ready for him to be Jordan Clarkson 2.0. Like, Jordan, I hate playing against Jordan Clarkson, because every time he comes into the game, man, it's instant offense. And so, you know, I would love for Trey Mann to be a player like that. I don't think Trey Mann is he's literally less than 20 games into his career, but I don't think he's a starter in this league. I think he's more of a, you know, of a catch fire real quick off the bench type of guy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I hope he turns into that type of player for us. You know, we've always loved those type of players, but they don't like to stay as six man. They like to go be starters somewhere else.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately. And I mean, even in this time that he's got in, like, in, you know, in the NBA games, not the G League games, you can see that he's learning, like, from his time. Like, he's learning where to be defensively. He's really competing defensively. And on the glass, like, I mean, he was tearing it up on the glass the other night as well. So, I don't know, man. I just prefer Trey Mann minutes over Teo, but that's just me.
You eating jerky?
Oh, yes. It's jerky.
Great podcasting moment.
Yeah, so no, I want more Teo love, man. I'm not getting off the hill yet. You guys can't talk me into it. Don't be peer pressures.
He's not better than Trey Mann.
He had one good bucket on Rudy. I'll give him that.
That's because Rudy let him, because he's French.
We will. Oh.
I don't know if he went that far.
All right, we're going to move on from this game, and we're going to go into the future. Way into
the
future.
Before we go into the future.
All right, rewind.
Rewind. I just want to touch on the fact that these Shayless games that we've had, these last two games, look entirely different than the last 20 games of the season last year.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a confidence that has built up. I think the good defense, you know, us being top half, top 15, top 13, we've kind of, you know, hovered around that point for the last week or so. I think that's real. I think Mark has coached this team up, and I think a big part of that I heard, I don't know if it was on Down the Dunk or something like that. It was actually on Ryland Styles on Locked On, is Cameron Woods. Cameron Woods, one of our developmental coaches, one of our assistant coaches, he's real good at apparently the defense is through him. And so, you know, this team, despite being so young, despite being so inexperienced, has come out there and been very focused defensively. And, you know, it's just you see a competence out there as opposed to what it looked like last season. And so, you know, not without too much of the players changing. I mean, you still have Darius Bazley out there. You still have, you know, I guess – Poku sometimes, you know, you have a little bit of Kenrich Williams, you have Mike Muscala, even though Mike Muscala didn't play too much late in the season. But you know, you have a lot more confidence out there. So that, that bodes well for us getting better quicker in this rebuild.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely, especially minutes where guys like Gideon Dort are on the court. Like, it's just such a, like, they're so noticeably, like, good players. Like, there's no one that, like, comes on the court and I'm immediately like, oh, like, we're going to be worse because these guys are on the court. Like,
yeah.
It feels like everyone is, like, contributing somewhat. Like, a lot of people are talking about Poku. He's not putting up as many stats. But he, like, legitimately looks like a much better player out there. Like just, things just, like, he looks much better than last season.
What happened to his shot? Sorry.
It seems like it's everyone in the league shot.
Did you look at his did you look at his shot last year though? Like, he's one of the worst shooters in the league.
No, it's, to me, there's something mechanically going on different this year than what there was last year. It's like last year he would release on his up, and like right now it seems like he gets to his peak and it's right whenever he starts to drop, he's letting that thing go. And I don't know what it's doing to him, but it's ticking me off.
Jerry's all about the mechanics, a fundamentalist here.
Defense and and free throws. That's what wins championships.
Get your shot together, Poku. Get your shot together.
But just, it's just like noticeably like a much better team coming into the season. Like, people were like, oh, the Thunder are going to be like the worst team in the West. And I was like, we've got like some, like, obviously Shea's the best piece amongst like all the teams that are kind of like tanking, I guess, or just towards the bottom of the West. But just like, there are a lot of good players on this roster. Like what Dylan was saying, good vets, even the young guys are always productive. And I do think a lot of that credit does go to Mark Daigneault. And like Alex was saying, just the all around coaching staff, defense, guys are figuring things out. And it's fun to watch. Even when we lose, like last season at the end of the year, when we were losing every game, it was not this fun to watch this team. So.
Yep, for sure. It's been a fun ride, man. Like, I mean, you know, there was those narratives like at the beginning of the season that this team isn't fun to watch. Like, you know, I'm not going to watch this team if they come up on League Pass or anything like that. But like, Josh Giddey is like objectively fun to watch basketball. Like, if you take everybody else off of the Thunder, Josh Giddey is objectively fun to watch play basketball. And it's just because, like, in a moment's notice, he could just whip a pass across the court, find somebody perfectly in the shooting pocket, thread through the arms and legs and bodies of defenders that like you like he has no business doing. So yeah, it's been a lot more fun this year. But you know what would make it even more fun is future prospects. Let's go into the future, boys, and let's talk some draft prospects. You know, now I know everybody is obsessed with the idea of getting Paolo Banchero after his standout performances in these first few games.
Don't know about that after giving his friends his car keys to drive him home while they were both drunk, but
yeah,
that's here nor there.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're going to do it, give it to the coach's grandson.
And there's also the people that are enamored with Chet Holmgren, who was it? On Down to Dunk, they talked about how they're having Matt Penny on the Athletic Slam and Jam show. Saturday Slam and Jam, and they said Matt Penning labeled him as a Poku 2.0. Now, I think Chet Holmgren's a better defender than Poku at this point, but that's neither here or there either. You know, we're not talking about those two. Those two are off limits because, you know, that's what everybody's talking about. I want to hear a prospect from you guys that is not one of the top two prospects that you think would fit well in the Thunder. And I'm going to start with Alex this time.
Well, thank you for that. So the guy that I've really been looking at here early on is Jabari Smith out of Auburn. I mean, that guy, 6'10", extremely fluid athlete. He looks like a combination of like Kawhi and just like Kawhi and Paul George. Like, if you put Kawhi and Paul George together in a 6'10" body that's extremely long, that's what he looks like out there. Like, he's defensively, he's already top notch in the SEC. You know, he offensively, he looks pretty good as far as what he can do. And, you know, I put out a tweet a couple of days ago that said, you know, don't be surprised if Jabari Smith kind of goes up into that tier with Chet and with Banchero by the end of the season. Like, he's that good. So I'm excited about him. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's not looking like we're going to be bottom three unless injuries start to play a little bit into the mix. And so we need to start probably looking at, you know, the 4-8 type range as far as picking there this year, unless we get lucky, you know, unless luck plays a part. But I think we're going to be in the 4-8 range. And so we need to start looking at players like that instead of, you know, focusing so much on Chet and Paolo.
Yeah, I'm mad because Jabari Smith was going to be my guy. So, Neverland, you go first either. But no, man, I mean, he's just kind of like a do-it-all player. Like, I mean, he's 6'10". He runs the 4-wheel. He's super athletic. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He can pass the ball a little bit. He's a great defender, one of the best defenders in the class. Like,
I mean, his per 36s are 18.5 points, 12 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.8 blocks, and 3.2 steals. Like,
pretty good.
That's a guy that possibly could get a 5-on-5 in a game.
Hey, that'll get it done. I like it. I'm with the Jabari Smith pick. I will pick somebody different, so I don't have your guy, but I do like that pick. I just want to go on record. I endorse that. Let's go to Cone. I think based on what he said earlier, I think I know who Cone might be thinking for his pick.
Yeah, man. The guy that I've been thinking about is Jalen Duren. It's like I was saying, the athletic, like roll, like rim rolling big, pair it next to Gideon Shea. I just think it would be incredible. I just think he'd be a great fit. Not really that much of a shooter, but just his ability to like get to the rim. We see a lot of plays where like Giddy will get the ball down low to guys because we don't have a lot of really high flying bigs. It would just change our offense so much if we had a big that could like get up and fly above the rim, like a guy like that. So I don't know, ever since a couple of days ago, I was really thinking about it. And I was like, damn, like if we don't get like a Paolo Banchero or like a Chet Holmgren, like I would love to get Jalen Duren in this draft. He's just super fun to watch. And I think the Thunder would become like one of the most fun teams to watch. Just the, like the amount of guys that we have that are playmakers on this team, getting him the ball, whether it's like dishing it to him down low to dunk on someone or alley-oops or just whatever we do, plus his ability to grab rebounds with already a team that's good at grabbing rebounds. I just think he would build a lot on the identities that we already have of like defense, like grabbing boards and kind of just like gritty type team. So he's the guy that I'm looking at if we're not getting one of those top guys.
His per 36 is 21 points, 15 rebounds, and 6.8 blocks.
It's insane. It's crazy. He's so good. I'm worried that he's going to play higher than our pick. But he's just a guy I'm looking at. Cause yeah, like Alex said, it's ridiculous what he does. God. He's just so productive in the time he's on the court.
No, he's built like Dwight Howard, and yeah, he plays a lot like prime Dwight Howard. If Dwight Howard went to college, helps Memphis doesn't play anybody. That's probably why his stats are like so like absorbent right now. But I mean, there's no doubting his talent. Like the dude is like supremely athletic. Very strong, great hands getting to the on the glass. That's my one hang up, man. It's just like, especially with how Presti's been doing things, like I think that he would lean towards a player with more skill than Duren, because I mean, like I said, there's no doubting like his athleticism, his physical traits, anything like that. I just think that, you know, Presti really in this past couple of years, he's really valued a guy that can dribble, pass, and shoot. And I don't know if Duren can do any of that. But, no, I really like the idea of Duren. Like, if we ended up with him, like, defensively on the glass, and, you know, as we said, like, pick and roll with Giddy and Shea, he'd be monster. So,
I always remember that Giddy also could not dribble, pass, or shoot, according to some folks, so.
Oh, he could pass. That was never a question. He at least had one of those. All right, Jerry, what you got, man?
Dude, I'm torn. I'm really, really, really torn. So I'm going to give you guys two, and I'm sorry.
Scotch tape and tape yourself together.
Jesus Christ. What am I dealing with around here? All right. So this is where I'm torn at. So, you know, ESPN's mock draft has us at number 7 right now. And the thought of having another Aussie next to Josh Giddey really, really excites me. And
an awesome name.
Yeah. Dyson Daniels. He's not like, I've watched probably about a half of the Ignite game. And this dude's motor is just all over the place. He's what, 6'6". The stat line that he put up on the 18th was 4 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocks. And he's just all over. But I think I'm more intrigued with him because I don't like his size. 6'6", it's just like, I don't know if I like that too much right now. We have a lot of 6'6ers. But just having another Aussie next to Giddey would make me really, really excited. And I know it would make all of our Aussie fans and our New Zealanders like just geek the F out if we had not one, but two of them on the team. But my other one that like I think fits a little bit better long-term is definitely Kendall Brown. I trust Baylor guys now. I trust them. I think that they can come into the league and play defense at a very, very high level. He's 6'8", but he plays like he's, you know, way taller than that. I watched one Baylor game this year so far, and I was thoroughly impressed with him. He's our mold, just like you were just talking about a second ago. Long, athletic, and has a couple of different skill sets. And he's still very, very, very raw. And I'm excited to watch him play the rest of the year in college and just, you know, catch him in the tournament, see what he does. But those are my two. I'm just really intrigued by both of those right now.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Dyson Daniels actually played with Josh Giddey on the Adelaide 36ers.
Probably did.
Yep. Because I remember seeing that in Giddey's documentary thing they had for NBA.com. So, yeah, no, I like Dyson Daniels too. I don't know how his shooting looks, but I know that he's really good with the ball in his hands. So yeah. It's kind of problematic when you got Shea and Giddey, but, you know, who knows what could work out.
Well, think about this, and this is why I was kind of excited about it in a way, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have three guys that can literally pick you apart, all you have to do is just keep, you know, running motion and keep moving the ball, and you're going to get the right shot that you want. Like, it's going to happen when you have three of those guys on the court. It's kind of tough right now with two, and if we're being real with ourselves, like, Giddey doesn't like to – he doesn't like to put up a lot of shots. Like that's one thing that I've kind of figured out with him. Like he's comfortable with like taking 10 shots a game. So you just get someone else that can maybe create for him and give him some more confidence where he's, you know, coming off the, off the ball. I think that can help him out. And I'm still a staunch believer that I think Shea should be coming off of a lot more pin downs and screens to get himself open and just taking the shot off of it versus the dribble action that we get a lot of this year. So I'd be cool with it.
Yep. No, I'm with it, man. All right. So my pick, this is a pivot because as I said, Jabari Smith's my guy. It's not Ty Washington or Damian Collins as much as you guys want me to, you know, go chalk with the UK guys. Although
I thought you were going to say Ty.
See, I love Ty. The only thing is like we have way too many guys at that position. And it'd be hard to work him in.
Five-guard lineup, it's all right. It's the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like bring Billy Donovan back so we can, you know, revolutionize the guard lineup. But, no, man, and I like Damian Collins. I think he's got a great skill set. It's just his frame, and it's hard to get him playing time in college, let alone NBA right now. So I think that he might come back another year, and, you know, maybe we'll revisit that discussion. But, no, my pick for this one – it's contingent on him falling because he's been struggling this year. You know, he He chose to go on the less traveled path and go play for his dad, who is the head coach at the University of Milwaukee, and that's Patrick Baldwin Jr. Patrick Baldwin Jr., he's a 6'10", power forward, wing, big, whatever you want to call him. He's long, he's athletic, but his main skill is just the ability to shoot the rock. Like, he's one of the best shooters in this draft class, like, going into the season, I should say. As I said, he's struggled immensely, and it's mainly because look where he's playing. He's playing at the University of Milwaukee. He is by far the best player on the team. Anytime their team plays somebody, they're just throwing two guys, three guys at him and just daring the rest of the team to beat him. It was a head scratcher when it happened, and it's not looking like it's making much sense now. And right now, Tankathon still has him at 6. I don't see him going that high once the draft happens. Maybe he works his way up there, with the combine and the measurements and everything. But I see his stock falling unless he can really turn it around in college. And there's a possibility that, the Thunder, as we all know, we have our own pick, assuming it's top 14. But we also have the Clippers pick unprotected. So there's a possibility that we're able to get a pick, 4, 5, 6, 7, something like that. And then also maybe Patrick Baldwin Jr. is down there, 15, 16, 17, 18, around where that Clippers pick might be. That's kind of where I'd look at for him. Barring some catastrophic swing and he just starts taking over and dominating people at the University of Milwaukee. But yeah, that's my backup there. I do like Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. I think he's going to be a monster in terms of scoring the basketball. It's just, again, he's 6'4". It's hard to find a spot for a guy on our team like that. I mean, Trey Mann theoretically does a lot of what we would ask him to do. So I would pass on that. And also Gene Montero really intrigues me on Overtime Elite. But again, 6'2". So, but yeah, that's who I got. Patrick Baldwin Jr. How you guys feel about PBJ?
I was gonna say, PBJ, that's a fun nickname, man. I feel like I feel PB and Shay, that could be a t-shirt. Ooh. Keep that one in the back of your mind. That one was right off the dome too. That's so there's dome, definitely gotta be more. Exactly.
That Nikola Bulger is really setting you up, on a whole other level on brainwaves. I like it.
Yeah, I'm in my creative mode right now.
For the win.
But yeah, I like PBJ a lot. Like you said, he is definitely a guy that I could see falling a little bit, but I still think there is a lot there that people might not quite, that some teams might pass on that I would like. I think he does fit pretty well. Yeah, like you said with Ivy, once again, it's rough that we have so many guards, because I feel like there's always so many fun guards in the draft classes, but we just have a lot of guards that we can't really make it work right now. Maybe there's a trade in the future that clears up some space, but yeah, I like PBJ. I think he would be a good fit for this team. And definitely if we kind of stay on the current trajectory where we're not quite top five-ish, he's a guy that I definitely think could be within our range.
The only thing that kind of worries me about PBJ is he's struggling against the likes of North Dakota, Eastern Kentucky, Bowling Green State.
Hey, UAV put you out of this.
Those are very dominant schools in Division II. Okay?
Yes, they're what they call bluegrass or blue shield or whatever the hell they're called.
Whoa.
what do they call blue bloods? There we go, blue blood.
He said blue shield. You're getting old.
But when I see stuff like that, it gives me shades of RJ Hunter, who the Boston draft pick that he played for his dad also at a smaller university. And he put up numbers, because he was playing at a smaller school. But when it translated over to the NBA, he struggled immensely. He's out of the league right now. And so that's the only thing that kind of worries me about Patrick Baldwin. That's the only thing, it's kind of what worries me about anybody that, number one, plays for a smaller school, plays for their father, is the best player on the team, and they struggle against, non-elite talent like the North Dakotas of the world and the Eastern Kentuckys of the world. So that's the only thing that worries me about him.
Dang it, stop besmirching the name in the VKU, man. I tell you, that's my backyard.
a hater.
I do want to give a shout out to Oscar Tshiebwe. If you guys ever get a chance to watch a UK game, this guy just swallows rebounds like it's nobody's business. He's got frying pan hands. He's a transfer from West Virginia. His first three games, he had 20, 20, and 18 on rebounds. He gets like 10 offensive rebounds a game. Like, he's a monster. I swear, he's a tank. Just watch him. He's so fun to watch play.
Yeah, I just went down like the rabbit hole, and I want Roko.
Yeah.
Percason. I don't know how to say it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want this guy. Makes sense. Yeah, he's great. 15, 16, and 4 as a big guy.
What's funny is he was projected to go like early second round last year, and he elected to take his name out of the draft to try to build his draft stock back up. So
genius.
Yeah, I like Roko. I liked him last year as a second rounder. And, you know, right now we've got pick 29, the Phoenix pick. So, I mean, hey, that's right around the range of Roko. So, yeah, I'm with it, man. Well, hey, guys, we asked for Twitter questions. And as always, you guys left us high and dry. I'm just kidding. You guys delivered in spades. I'm going to pull up that tweet right now, and we're going to answer y'all's Twitter questions. Let's see here. We do want to apologize for the delay in coming back on the podcast. Our Believe Podcast Network, you know, we are a member of the Believe Podcast Network, as I so fondly mention every episode. They shifted our distribution website, and so there was like a waiting period on that, but we're good to go now. So sorry about that, and thank you for bearing with us. But without further ado, let's get into our questions, boys. So first, we're going to start off with Sarah Sellers at Another Hip Artist. Says, I still want to know what's going on with Deck, because I'm confused by that too.
So wait a second. I need to correct you on something. You don't ever, if you say Sarah Sellers, we all know who she is. Don't you say her at. We know who she is.
I can still say her at, so people can follow her.
They better know who she is. Sorry.
This is for the others who don't know who she is, man. Okay.
Gosh, Jerry, I'm trying to help out.
We all have her artwork in our houses.
It's true.
Yes, we do.
All right, so she wants to know what's going on with Deck, because she's confused by it.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat here. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. Like, I don't know. I want to know what he's thinking and what he's feeling right now. Like, I think that's where I'm at with it, because obviously the team's just not going to play unless it's garbage minutes. Yeah. I haven't seen him come into a game, you know, not in the fourth quarter since last season, I think, whenever he got a little bit of run those last, what was it, four games? That sounds right.
I think it was 10 games.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, like, yeah. What is going on with that? Granted, he doesn't really fit at all. Like, he seems like that one awkward, you know, puzzle piece that a kid chewed on, and it just doesn't go right back into the spot that it's supposed to. Like, you know, he's supposed to be in the NBA, but like, he just doesn't fit with us. And
he didn't fit last year either. So it's kind of weird that they brought him back.
Yeah, I'll go this far. I don't think he fits in the NBA. I think he plays a real throwback style. He tries to play, you know, he's got the body of a wing, but he tries to play like a big. He tries to back you down from the three-point line. Like, that isn't going to work in today's NBA. And, you know, he's tried to expand his game a little bit, adding a three-pointer, but that just hasn't proven consistent. The one thing that I can, like, honestly give Deck 100% is, like, he doesn't back down, and he plays really tough defense. I remember his debut game, he came in and he guarded Zion Williamson admirably, I would even say. But in terms of offense, he just doesn't give you anything. And at this point in time, like, with, you know, the young pieces that we're looking to develop, you know, I tweeted this out the other day, I just don't see who's benefiting from this situation. Like, you know, the Thunder chose to guarantee his contract. And, as many people pointed out, you know, it benefits Deck that he makes $3.5 million just to sit on the bench and do nothing. But, you know, at some point, like, something's got to give. Like, I'm just confused by it.
Well, in reality, too, we all don't know, like, the other side of it, because, like, and I understand we're overpaying in this situation. So, but he could be the best damn locker room / practice guy in the league, and we just don't have a clue about it, you know. And yeah, I stated in the beginning, yeah, that's an overpayment, right? But
the gross, like, overpayment.
If we win a championship, it's an underpayment.
There we go. But really and truly, yeah, we're only seeing one side of this thing, and that's only, you know, whenever they suit up for the game for 48 minutes that he just sits on the bench and looks depressed the whole time. So yeah,
he goes home every day and cries into $100 bills.
Yeah, just wipes his tears away. So, yeah, I think your tweet was spot on though, Dylan. I think your tweet was spot on with that. Just, yeah, who's benefiting here? And maybe it is us, and we just don't get to see it.
Here's my thing. Like, here's the thing, and I guess at a certain point there is a roster crunch, and you can't really have too many guys developing or too many guys playing at all. But my thing kind of with this situation is, like, as soon as Deck leaves the NBA, he's got another job. He's got another contract already waiting for him when he goes overseas. You know, we have tons of guys that can benefit from having an open roster spot on the Thunder, to get, you know, to get that NBA experience, get that, you know, some of our guys on our G League squad, like a Rob Edwards or something like that. Even if it's just one of those things where you're kind of paying them as a loyalty type thing, because Rob Edwards has been on the Blue for so long. Just giving a roster spot for that would be great.
Yeah, 100%, man. And who knows? Maybe he's there just so we, you know, we can have him on our books and maybe use his filler on a trade, you know, around the deadline. And who knows?
So I'm thinking.
Maybe he sticks around past the deadline and we, you know, we eat his contract so we can, you know, free up a roster spot. But, you know, it's been a weird ride. I don't understand it, but let's switch gears, because, you know, I don't want to spend 30 minutes talking about Gabriel Deck, because that's more playing time. That's more than the playing time that he's got this year. She also asked, which Thunder player is most likely to get crazy competitive during a touch football game with their cousins on Thanksgiving? I like this question. It's themed. So it's
definitely, I think this is the easiest answer out there.
All right, what you got?
Lou Dort. Yeah, it's going to be Lou. Yeah. Like he will literally just crush you and then be like, nah, bro, that was a touch. I didn't tackle you. That was just a touch. Why are you mad at me right now? And he's got good hands. I'm sure he has a cannon on him too, like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
There was football over the mountains.
Yeah, yeah. If the coach just would have put him in, man. So I'm going with Lou Dort. I think he would be that one dude that just can't turn off that motor and just demolishes everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like Giddey would be like you kind of think maybe a good quarterback. For some reason, I feel like Giddey would be kind of a really good wide receiver. Like, I feel like Giddy's like mossing guys out there. I don't know. I feel like Giddey could be pretty good in that role, and I could see him getting competitive. Bro, so Dort
throwing some dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Giddey would just be really good at like every position, and he would get really like confident. So,
man, he was getting a little chippy tonight. I saw him shove Royce O'Neal a couple times. I mean, he's definitely competitive. So yeah, I'm with that. I could also see Shea being competitive, but for the sake of this question, I would like Shea to sit down and watch them play football while you rest up that ankle, my guy. Alex, who you got, man? I didn't hear from you.
I'm gonna go with Kenrich.
Yeah,
I think Kenrich has like a little bit of a mean streak.
He's from Texas,
you know,
too,
ain't he? He's from Texas. He's got a little bit of that older man muscle on him, and so I think he'd do pretty good on the football field, and he'd probably wreck shop.
I think that's a better pick than Dort, honestly, just because, you know, being born in Texas, Texas football, and then, you know, just, you know, what we've seen on the court. Yeah, so solid pick, Alex. I'm with you there.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to at PHX Rising Suns 1, and they want to ask, are you worried about spending a top draft pick on a big, which largely has lower value in today's NBA?
Also, largely.
Yeah, you know, that's a word.
Absolutely not.
No, heck no.
Yeah, I'm not worried because this is the way I look at it. We miss? Cool. I got 34 more picks behind this. Let's go again next year. And every draft class is going to bring you something just a little bit different. And in the next couple of years, there's going to be a disgruntled big slash, you know, free agent opportunity that we might be able to swoop on in there and, you know, grab somebody. And maybe not so much the free agency side, but well, hell, it might happen. But, you know, putting out a trade for an established big guy already that we know that we can do things, DeAndre Ayton. I would love to have you over here. So if you're listening, come join the Thunder.
I love you. Hope you're doing well.
but yeah, I'm not. No, yeah, just shoot for it. See what happens. And like I said, we got another 30 picks behind it. Like I'm not. I think that's what gives me the quote unquote the biggest balls in this situation right now. Is just knowing that like, whatever. If I miss, I miss. It's okay. Like even with Giddy, like even if he just stunk it up, it's like, all right, yeah, it was a 6th pick. You know, didn't work out. Cool. See you later. We'll go again next year and try to grab somebody else. So mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
And even furthering your point, like, you know, say we drafted Jalen Duren and he blew out his knee like 2 games into the season and he's going to be out all year. Cool. We get Victor Wembanyama the next year.
Yeah. Same deal. Yeah. And we all know it's Victor or bust 2023. So, yeah, I don't care. I got another 30 picks. Who gives a crap? I'm sure Sam says the same thing to everybody too. Like, whatever.
I heard it a lot in like the draft cycle talking about like how much I loved Evan Mobley. And there were a lot of people that were like, but he's a big, like, are you scared of that? And it's like, no, I don't care if you're a guard, a big, a wing, whatever. It just, if you can show you can play, you can play. And like a guy like Mobley could play, and there are some great bigs at the top of this draft that can play really well. And like you said, we've got a million draft picks. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. And even if the big isn't great them by themselves, we've got so many good pieces like a Josh Giddey, who even if you just give him like an athletic big, they're going to look better by default because of how good he is at getting guys the ball. Like you've got Shea to score. So you don't need anyone like special necessarily. It would be a huge plus if we did get someone special. But worst case, we get like an athletic big who like works well. So, you know.
Yeah, not scared at all. Like, you know, we got, like Jerry said, we got plenty of draft picks behind it. And, you know, bigs take a little bit longer to develop. So it's almost expected. Like, you know, Evan Mobley, you know, he came out like gangbusters the first couple games. But, you know, there's a possibility that he will regress, you know, back down to like a rookie scale, a great rookie scale type center, you know, as far as statistically, and, you know, he's not going to be a world beater the whole season. So I definitely think that no fear behind it, you know, especially this draft, you pick what you can pick. Now, the only worry that I get is if the Thunder fall in love with somebody and they trade a bunch of draft picks to get that person, if they're not able to, you know, grab them higher in the draft than what they're picking. Then it gets a little bit like, hey, this guy better be on the money. But if he's, you know, if we're picking him at the pick that we get him, there's no worries at all.
And I have a theory that Steven Adams is going to come back from free agency. So whatever.
Okay.
All right.
Russ is going to come back at some point too.
Yep. Never mind. Sorry about that. Sorry. I put a joke out there. Sure.
So it's KD.
I don't think it was a joke. All right. Clemente Almanza at C Almanza 1007 says, to celebrate the drop of the first 2 Hawkeye episodes, which former Thunder player would make the best mentor for a current young player on the roster? Before we get into that, Cone, Alex, I know you guys are into this like I am. Have you guys got to watch the new Hawkeyes yet?
I got to watch episode 1, not 2 yet.
What about you?
Yeah, I got to watch both of them right before the podcast.
Oh, dang, I have yet to watch any of them.
Oh, what?
Well, we've got all 3 perspectives right now.
Yeah, I don't have one at all. 4.
Yeah, 0, yeah. 1, 2 doesn't care.
Yeah,
I love it. But no, man, yeah. So obviously in Hawkeye, you know, Clint Barton is mentoring Kate Bishop. We know that from the trailers and everything like that. So talking about former Thunder player, any former Thunder player mentoring a current young Thunder player. I'm going to go to Jerry since he doesn't care about the show.
Man, this is tough. I think I would go with Russ. And it would be Russ because do I have to tell who I'd want him to mentor? Yes. It'd be Shea. And it's not because Shea's skill set sucks or anything like that, but like I see that dog in Shea every so often, but like I want to see it every single night, like where he's just trying to murder everybody. And just have a little bit more, I guess, be a little bit more vocal. Gosh, and that's a really crappy perspective because that's just not who he is. Yeah, I'll just stay Russ with Shea just to give him a little bit more of an edge.
Yeah. Hey, I can see an edge developing in Shea.
Yeah, no, it's there this year than what it was 2 years ago for sure. Like, absolutely. And even last year, whenever, you know, the beginning of the season started out. But I just want to see a little bit more dog out of him, you know, that killer instinct where he's like, no, I'm going to kill your family and eat your babies like Mike Tyson. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that one.
All right. Well, I'm going to go in order of, you know, the most episodes seen. So I'm going to myself here. I'm going to say Serge Ibaka, Darius Bazley. And, you know, they're obviously a little bit different. Ibaka was more of a big, Bazley's more of a wing, but Serge was a phenomenal defender, crazy good shot blocker. We've seen Darius have that potential. Like tonight, we didn't even talk about, he straight up met Gobert at the rim with just like a monster block. Now, Gobert's got a lot of strength to him, so it knocked Bazley all the way back, but daggone it, he got the block and he stopped the possession. So, yeah, I just like Ibaka to kind of impart his wisdom defensively on how to really become a force on the weak side, strong side, on ball, off ball, just defender and shot blocker and just paint presence, because that's something that we've really been lacking ever since Adams left. And honestly, there's a lot of people that would argue if Adams was a paint presence. I'd like to see Ibaka help him out with that. And also just, you know, Ibaka became pretty much a knockdown shooter, like 15 foot out, in those last couple years in OKC. So maybe impart some of his wisdom there on that. All right,
that's a good one.
Hey, I appreciate that, Cone. And I know yours is going to be better than mine. So go ahead, Mr. I watched one episode.
All right, so I was thinking about one, and I'll come back to it if Alex doesn't make that comparison, but I think the one I want to go with as my like official choice is Chris Paul for Josh Giddey. Okay. Like, just not like, because he's got like the passing chops, but just figuring out like a way to harness it, like make the best reads, just the high IQ plays. Like, I like, obviously Chris Paul's mentorship was like a huge thing for Shea, and it was huge for our culture in that season. And if we had like a guy like Chris Paul, like teaching and working with Josh Giddey, I just think that would be incredible. Maybe teach him a mid-range jumper. That would be cool. But just like how great of a playmaker, obviously, Chris Paul is, and how great of a playmaker Josh Giddey projects to be so far just through the early parts of his career. I just think there could be some like insane connection there. So that's the one I'm going with.
I'm with it, man. Basketball minds unite. All right, mister, I got to watch all the episodes. What you got?
So, I mean, so the obvious one is Nick Collison and JRE. That's the obvious one. So I wanted to go not so obvious. So my not so obvious one is Kevin Martin and Trey Mann. So you know, very kind of like similar jobs, not necessarily similar games, but similar what we want them to be. And so Kevin Martin was a hyper efficient, you know, shooter scorer for the Thunder. Came off the bench, especially when Tabo was out there and he wasn't injured. And so, you know, I would really love for Trey Mann to be that hyper-efficient scorer off the bench that comes in and just, you know, either takes a deficit and trims it down or takes a lead and increases it whenever he gets out there. So, Kevin Martin, Trinion.
What in the hell? That was the last freaking name I was expecting to hear in this segment or this question. I'm sorry. The absolute last name. Like, everybody else, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Kevin Martin? What the? Jesus Christ, Alex.
Chris Paul was on the team for a year.
Yeah, but Kevin Martin? That guy was a waste of space. No. Dude couldn't guard. He could not do anything on the defensive end.
If Russell doesn't get hurt, that team goes to the finals and wins it.
No, absolutely. But
hold on. Part of the reason is because of the spacing or because of the outlet that Kevin Martin was. You know, we were always looking for somebody to be that outlet that James Harden was, that Kevin Martin was. We could never find it after Kevin Martin left.
Amo?
Don't give me that, man.
Amo?
No, man. Kevin Martin couldn't stay out there because of his defense. You talk about Amo. Amo cannot stay out there.
Talk about
all.
Just close. I'm trying to find a different comp here other than Kevin Martin.
No. Sorry. But that's the thing, like efficiency-wise, efficiency-wise, Martin was feasting out there, man. Like, it was great for our team. That's what we were always looking for, but we could never find after he left.
He was smooth, man. He was like one of the best spot-up shooters that we've had, like, to couple with, you know, KD and Russ. So, I like it. I was trying to fit Abrines in there somewhere because, you know, I thought of him as like a really pure shooter for like maybe like a Ty Jerome or something in terms of like, you know, coming off screens and stuff, because his is more like spot ups and off the dribble threes, but, you know, maybe Abrines could help him with like, you know, coming off screens and stuff.
I think the problem with Ty is that Ty goes out there, like, Ty's job should be as a floor spacer. But Ty goes out there and he's a ball handler / point guard / playmaker. And he needs to be out there with Shea, you know, with Giddy, and kind of, you know, find his spot in the corner and just go ahead and, you know, make 5 or 6 threes a game.
Yep. I'm with it. Cone, what was that other one you was talking about that I assume it wasn't the Kevin Martin one?
Yeah, man, Alex managed to get to my Kevin Martin mentorship one. I thought KD with Poku would be a fun one. That was one that came to mind before I thought of the Giddy Chris Paul one. There was one other one I thought of while Alex was talking about his glorious Kevin Martin mentorship game plan, but I don't remember who it was now. So it probably wasn't that good.
Hey, let's get off of our team and just let Poku, let Giannis mentor Poku, like down to like the weight program, the dietary plans.
Ooh, honestly, Steven Adams for Poku, just get him like on whatever workout plan Steven Adams is on. Like,
he wasn't on a workout plan. He was just eating a shit ton of food.
Bro, I remember that Instagram story Russ had of like all the food that Steven had in a Mexican restaurant. Steven, you cannot eat all this.
I mean, wasn't it also in his book? Didn't he also talk about it in his own book?
I've read it twice. I don't really remember though.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, speaking of food, beautiful transition, because the rest of the questions are all about food. Is it K Sarasara? Yeah, it is K Sarasara. Is that 1_2_? I think it's just 1_. There you go, Connor. You got an underscore fam there. What is the best meal to eat the night before Thanksgiving?
Absolutely nothing.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
No, you fast like you've never fasted before. Like I'm doing. I'm just drinking water the rest of the night. That's it. I finished eating dinner at 6:00 and I don't plan on eating until my turkey is out of the oven, carved, and ready to go. Granted,
he's going to tackle 3 people on his way to the buffet line.
Well,
love how serious.
Yeah,
right now, dude.
No, I really feel strongly about this. Like, you do not eat. You hold off and you just gorge yourself the next day. Absolutely. Eat whatever the hell you want, but just make sure you're done by 6 o'clock so you can, like I said, just go nuts the next day. Like, you know how many deviled eggs I'm going to eat tomorrow? I don't even know yet. It's going to be a lot of them. I'm going to eat a lot of those. What else? We got all the dips that you can think of. So I'm going to eat a lot of bread and dips. And yeah, it's going to be a glorious, glorious day tomorrow. And it's because I didn't eat tonight.
I'm sorry. Especially a heavy meal. Jerry, but I had a 20-inch ribeye before we recorded, so.
Damn. Oh,
who does that? You're not even going to be able to poop tomorrow morning to clear your stomach out to even start eating tomorrow, man. Right, it's called Jerry's science.
He's a Thanksgiving purist.
Yeah.
It's all about the fundamentals.
I'm a little picky anyway, so like I just eat, you know, the turkey, corn, mac and cheese, stuff like that anyway, so yeah.
Okay.
Respectable. I don't know if you helping the turkey, but
All right.
Well, hey, moving on to at Salvadoran Art. This is Mateo. Says, what is the most overrated Thanksgiving meal? There was some confusion there. So at the Najkovich said dish or meal, and he said dish, LOL. Some clarification. So, most overrated Thanksgiving dish.
Anything with freaking marshmallows in it.
Oh, overrated. Come on. Nah.
Yeah, come on.
Sweet potatoes with marshmallows, so good.
Nah, man, that's overrated.
So good.
It's overrated.
Okay, there goes Alex's.
I never
Alex's.
Really understood it, but as I said, I'm a picky eater. I'm going to sit this one out, y'all, because, you know, I can't really say if anything's overrated because I don't eat a wide variety of stuff. So go ahead.
None of it. It's all amazing.
Jerry, what's your favorite holiday?
It's legit. Like, Thanksgiving has been one of my favorites for years. Like, I don't buy into the corporatism, even though it is a form of corporatism, you know, with Thanksgiving. But like, I don't buy into like the Halloween or the, you know, the Christmas stuff. Like, it's never been my favorite. But gosh dang it, Thanksgiving, like, you're guaranteed so many different things to eat. And like, how many times do you get to just be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go get two plates of something. Like, I never do that, but whatever day, you know, Thanksgiving falls on that year, that's the day I'm going to do it. So absolutely none of them. Green bean casserole, I'll smash it. Mac and cheese, I'll smash it. You want to put some collard greens on my plate? I'll smash that too. Yams with or without marshmallows, I'll eat those also. Ham, turkey, absolutely. You got some gravy over there? What about types of breads? I'll eat all the breads. All right. Oh, you got a charcuterie board over there mixed with olives and meats and different other cheeses? Oh, let's go ahead and take some of that in too. All right. That's all amazing. I don't know. There's no overrated Thanksgiving dish on this earth. And if you put it to the test, invite me to your next Thanksgiving, give me everything and I will tell you how great it is every single bite, just to let you know how much I love it.
Jerry
None of it.
Up to Thanksgiving table like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. Get in my belly.
Bruh, and I weigh like a 150 wet right now. And like I said, I absolutely destroy food. I think I'll probably eat 3 plates that hour. I'll probably take like an hour and a half nap afterwards. And then I'll wake right back up and start eating some more. Like, I usually don't get the turkey leg tomorrow. I'm going to eat a whole damn turkey leg in the first sitting. Like, that's the goal. Thanksgiving is undefeated. I'm sorry. Thanksgiving is undefeated. Thank you.
I've never met a man as passionate about this holiday as you. God. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Absolutely love it.
In the pilgrim, he's got the cornucopias on the tables and everything.
No, I don't go that far. I'm just here for the food.
Cone, do you got an overrated dish for Thanksgiving, man?
I was going to say like green bean related stuff, but I just don't like green beans. So I feel like it's not fair to say it's overrated just because I don't like it. But like, that's the only thing that comes. I will say I'm also a big fan of Thanksgiving. I like pretty much all the food. So other than like green beans, really, that's just not my thing. So I guess I'll go with that.
Yeah, you're getting a picture of my green bean casserole.
I was gonna say, if I say anything else other than like, if I go any further, Jerry's gonna start.
Yeah, it's all good, everybody. It's all good. Think about how many people wish they could just have one day in the world just to go fat themselves up and just gorge on whatever the heck they want. Like, there's got to be a couple billion people that wish they could be us. Like, enjoy it. Eat it all. Screw it.
Nah, y'all will enjoy this. I'm about to roast myself. So, you know, speaking of green beans and speaking of being picky, as I was growing up, I wouldn't eat green beans either, but I love beans. So I would literally pick the beans out of the green beans and just eat the beans.
How have you not ended up in prison yet? That's some serial killer psycho stuff there, Dylan.
I would be kind of terrified if my child started picking the beans out of the green beans.
Chelsea, how did Chelsea marry you? You have so many red flags.
Biggest red flag. I started picking the beans out of the beans.
I started eating regular green beans before we started dating. So I saw the light. Just
in time.
Kudos to you. Hopefully you didn't kill any kittens or other small animals as a kid, because that's the behavior that I, you know, link up with you doing that.
All right, boys. We got a couple more here. So Hunter Harjo at Hunter Harjo 7 says, what is the best pie to have at Thanksgiving? And if not too much of a pie guy, like myself, then what is the best dessert?
Bro, what do you eat on Thanksgiving?
This dude eats chicken nuggets and french fries like what my daughter. Eat? That's like it.
Exactly. What do you eat? Do you eat like Kraft mac and cheese?
No. Hey. Do not besmirch the name of Velveeta on this Zoom call.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the reason why I said it, man. Like... Oh my word.
Yeah, Dylan. We gotta have a talk after this podcast, man to man.
Hey, listen, I own that I'm a picky eater, but hey, what I'm willing to eat, I eat a lot of. So
did your family not do seasoning?
No, I've learned once I've gotten married, my mom cooked a lot of things wrong. So that's exciting.
I feel bad for you. Now it makes a little bit more sense. You have mommy issues in the kitchen. Mama
Hunsinger.
Yeah. Mommy issues. Oh, that sucks, Dylan. I feel bad for you.
All right. So what's y'all's favorite pie?
I'm a big key lime guy. I really like key lime pie.
I respect
that's
it.
That's like one of my family's favorites. So we always get one of those. Also, if you know like the Hershey like chocolate cream pie, also really good. Those are probably my two favorites.
Heck yeah, thaw that sucker out for a while. That's a good one.
If Jerry likes my pick, the Thanksgiving goat over here, then yeah. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, very good choices, solid choices. I got to hear everybody else's because I'm obviously the expert in this subject.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so here's my, I'm Puerto Rican. And so like we do, you know, we do the traditional, like the pumpkin pie. We, you know, we bring that, but we also eat like flan or something like, it's like a coconut based like dessert called tembleque, which is real good. It's like a coconut paste and it's just real good. So I like those, but since it's not really a Puerto Rican centric podcast, I'll just go ahead and go with the traditional pumpkin pie with whipped cream on it.
Respectable.
I like to eat cookies on Thanksgiving.
God dang, man, come on.
This guy's bringing Chips Ahoy in through the door whenever someone slid over a stove. What the hell? Dylan, you just continue to disappoint me. Now I know what my dad feels like. Sorry, it's been a while since I've got to toss one of those in. Sorry. I love all the pies, right? So we can do sweet potato. We can do pumpkin. I'm a big fan of just the basic old apple pie with a little bit of ice cream. Toss a little bit of vanilla ice cream on that thing.
Oh, a cobbler. Give me a cobbler.
I was getting there. See? There we go.
You just reminded me. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Peach cobbler is just absolutely fire. Probably one of my most favorite things. If
you don't get this fat by skipping desserts. So I just throw that out there.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but since you did, sorry.
But you do get skinny as hell by not seasoning your food.
Yeah. Well. That's Dylan's problem, not mine. But a good cobbler, And, you know, Cone threw out one of my most underrated Thanksgiving pies, and it's key lime pie, because it makes no sense whatsoever for the season, because that's usually like a summer slash spring type of pie that you bring. I think it's just amazing. The only thing that sucks about it in my household, like, my wife hates, this lady will drink a lime margarita, you know, till her stomach is just full. But I bring anything else lime into this house, and she's like, ugh, that's disgusting. So I'm outnumbered on my key lime pies nowadays. I have a nice apple pie and some ice cream ready for tomorrow, though.
I'll come over and we'll split a key lime pie between the two of us.
I'm down, dude. You come to the city, we're going to go to Pie Junkie, and we're going to go like Lady and the Tramp. We're going to go eat key lime pie from Pie Junkie together.
Hey, let me know so I can drive up.
All right, you got it.
Right, hey, we'll do it. So in all of that, it seems like to me, pecan pie is a little bit overrated.
You know, it's just not my favorite, and it's a consistency thing for me. I just don't like the consistency. It's like
Thanksgiving King too.
Yeah, yeah, but don't get me wrong, they're good. It's just the consistency of them. I don't like them that much. Like, if you gave me all my choices that I gave you, I'm going to pick those first before I do a pecan pie.
Yes.
Every time.
100%.
Every time. But if it's on the table and that's the only thing there, your boy's smashing a piece. I am definitely still smashing a piece because it's Thanksgiving and you made it. So I got to show my love there.
All right. So our boy Sublime asked a couple questions, and this will wrap us up here. This first one's for Jerry specifically, since he's the Thanksgiving King. What dish does Poku bring to a Thanksgiving potluck?
Oh, man. I mean, you see how skinny he is? He's going to bring those little cookies that he gave to Andrew Schlett. That's all he's bringing.
Let's think zero, of something.
Zero seasoning in his lifetime also.
Lord.
Yeah, he's Eastern European slash Slavic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with something.
Them Balkans, they struggle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with something cabbage related. it'll be something cabbage related, right?
Cabbage stew.
I don't know what it'll be exactly. I'm not, you know, in their recipe book over there, but I definitely see him bringing something cabbage related.
And the cabbage, he's got a stash of deviled eggs in his fanny pack.
The cabbage is the meat substitute.
Yes. It's either that or pork. It's something pork. I don't know what, but they do some weird wild stuff boar. Over there. Yeah, they do some weird stuff. Like, you know, they set pork fat and gelatin and just eat it off to the side as a side. So yeah, something funny like that. Cabbage or pork gelatin.
So Sublime also asked this thought-provoking question. Does our boy Mike Muscala on the holiday, does he eat moose, or would that be considered cannibalism?
I'm a definite cannibalism on this one.
Yeah, the way he's playing this season, definite cannibalism. He's taking no prisoners.
Yeah, Moose seems like a guy that just would be like, oh, that's weird. People call me Moose. I don't want to eat a moose. Go get me something regular. But at the same time, I could see him be like, hell yeah, give me Bullwinkle, serve him up. Let's go. So yeah, that's a tough one, Sublime. That's a tough one.
Put Moose on a charcuterie board and serve him the Sam Presti.
Something. Huh. Good question, Sublime. Good question. Now I'm really just thinking about how does moose taste? I've had wild game before. How does moose taste, though? Because their diet's kind of funny. So
probably venison-like.
I don't know, man. They eat from the bottom of ponds, like vegetation out of ponds and stuff like that. So that's got to taste pretty freaking gamey.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to get some moose in me and come back. Whoa. There was a comma there, you freaking weirdos.
I don't think you can put a comma there.
It's somewhere there.
I heard something from my living room and muted for 1 second, and whatever Jerry said, I completely missed. So I won't make you repeat it.
He was coming in hot, boys.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
No, I said I need to get some moose in me, and these freaking degenerates started giggling like little 14-year-old girls all over again. So,
you haven't done it in the group chat before.
I know, you're not wrong. Don't tell anybody.
Other than people listening to the podcast.
Yeah, you guys just forget that part.
All right, boys. Well, hey, it's, you know, that's the pod, boys. You know, we answered our questions. We went over some prospects and we talked about the game that happened. And, you know, I think we're going to carry you into your holiday in a beautiful fashion. So, guys, thank you for coming on the pod. It was great to see your faces again, talk a little Thunder basketball. And I just want to thank you, the listener, man. Thank you all for sticking with us and supporting us and listening to us. Hope you guys have a great day, great holiday. Have a great night. Goodbye. I can't talk, y'all. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a great night. God bless. Don't forget to hoop when you can, wear a mask when you need to, get vaccinated if you have not. And as always,
Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.